This is part two of this podcast. What's happening, people? Thank you for listening to the Three Shots Tequila podcast. We hope you enjoy the episode. If you are on Spotify, leave comments, partake in our polls, and tell a friend to tell a friend. If you're also listening on Apple Podcasts or Amazon Music, we appreciate you also. Keep streaming. Just so everyone knows, this podcast drops every Friday. The YouTube drops every Tuesday. With that being said, follow us on the socials and enjoy the episode. Is it recording?
Yeah.
No, I'm blessed.
Oh, yeah, we'll just cut it out.
Because this will get out something.
You know what it looks like? You know, you're like, woo, jokes, in it? Just fucking with you. I'm just fucking with you, right? Oh, listen, we got bear jokes, in it? I know you're listening, babes. I love you. I love you.
You are now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marv Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser fucking Black.
Yeah. Wait, do you say you can't wait to get out so he can put stuff on his knife?
Yep. What, in 20
Mad.
Years, bro?
Mad.
Yes. Nah, that's crazy. Bro, listen, man.
Why are we so violent? I don't understand, man.
Listen,
we come from kings and queens, bro.
I don't know what camera's running. Man, I'm a man peace we and love. Personally, I'm about peace and love, people. I don't know about nothing.
But I think it's the GM food, you know. It must be
right, bro. About this thing,
and we eat the same shit, brother.
Hey, you know what's mad when you think about this whole violence thing? Because when you break it down, like, we are violent people.
It's not our nature, bruv.
We're not violent people. We're not.
There's a war going on right now.
I just think we need hugs,
There's
bro.
Multiple wars going on right now. What are you talking about,
where?
Bro? Where?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, man. There's multiple wars going on right now.
Break it down for me, please.
We are violent people.
Where?
Okay, look, let me give you an example here. Let me give you an example of how bad we are.
I'll trump your argument.
On the outside, if you're on the outside looking in of the human race here, you're going to say, why do these people treat each other so badly? Like, they're all human. Okay, cool. There might be different shades, different colors, et cetera. But why do they treat each other so badly?
Do you know what you're doing? You're doing...
Oh, my God.
No, seriously. Let me educate you on something. What you're trying to do here is you're perpetuating what the media tells you.
The media?
Well, once, let me break it down for you. Now, in terms of black people in general, yes. In terms of conflict within the UK and whatever, when black people do have conflict, it can be ultra violent. Yes, cool. But as a people, we are not violent. Because once, when you go to Nigeria, for example, or you go to South African countries, bro, most black people you see are calm. There's no violence over there like that. There are problems, but it's not violent. Like, if that's the case, then the same violence that you see here from black people in America, you'll be perpetuated within
Broski.
And also, you're looking at people like, I don't really want to take it there, but the British Empire, when they're going all over the world, bro.
Colonialism.
And they are fucked up. The whole world.
I weren't talking about black people.
Slave
I
trade.
Said humans.
King Leopold in Belgium.
I'm not talking about black people, bro.
From Nazi Germany to Napoleon.
Yeah.
But allow me, bro.
I'm not talking about black people.
I said humans.
If you're on the outside,
you talk about black people.
No, I didn't say black
people. Hold on, we're talking about black people.
Hey, when you watch this back,
you're talking about black people.
Shut up.
When people say,
I said, hey, I said humans.
You are a sicko.
When you go back and watch this, you're going to hear what I'm saying.
You are a sicko.
The point I'm making is this.
I don't want to hear it.
If you're on the outside looking in on the human race, we treat each other badly. As we sit here right now, there's multiple wars going on, bro. There's no reason for the way we treat each other. There's not.
What are you talking about?
Marvin.
There's not.
Marvin, human race.
It's true though, bro.
Spread love, that's the Brooklyn way.
Making a better place. For you and for me and the entire human race.
Are you better dog?
There are
people dying.
If you care enough for the living,
you were speaking about black people.
Make a better place for you and for me.
This is why aliens don't fuck with us, bro.
Don't let Brent come in.
They've been here.
You know when we talk about violence and stuff like that, yeah, I might have to disagree with that one because where we come from, you know what I mean? And I'm going to hit you. I'm gonna hit you with some statistics.
It's not even about schooling.
It's not even about schooling. I'm going to give you some statistics.
But
Wait.
USA was founded on what?
Slavery, yeah, I heard that, but whatever. But Marvin, it's not just black people, that's not just black people, Marvin, it was founded, Marvin, it was founded, Marvin, it was founded, like it, the conversation now isn't even who's more violent or whatever, you said we're just not violent, you know what I mean?
Not inherently.
Not as a people. I don't think as a people. Okay, cool. So the population of the UK, you know what I mean, is 67.3 million.
Yeah.
Right? This is 2021 statistics, by the way.
No, but this, wait, this is black people here.
No, wait. This is, so 67 million people in the UK, right? 59.9 million people in South Africa.
Yeah.
Right? Statistics. So, the, in, you know, the statistics for homicides in the UK, right? In 2022, was it? Yeah, for, okay, in the, basically June 2023. By June, so it's for a whole year, those statistics, there were 602 homicides offenses over a 12-month period, right? In this country. So black, white, whatever, collectively, there were 602 homicides, right? So in South Africa, within a 3-month time span.
But brother, you're picking, that don't make no sense.
You're picking SA.
That's one of the most dangerous countries in the whole world.
That's fine. They will rape you. Marvin, hear me out. You know what I mean? So how many do you think, in a 3-month span, right? How many murders do you think there were?
Bro,
murders
that, that country's a madness, 100. Bro.
Huh?
More than 100, see? I'm saying more than 3 months spent.
So, rapes and murders. Wait, Marvin. We will get to the conversation.
We're talking about violence. He's picked SA, which is one of the worst countries, the murder capital.
Institutionalized, their mental state.
Bro!
Is all,
you can't pick a country out of the blue. That's what I mean, pick Ghana.
We're good.
For your thing. Pick Ghana.
Egg and hugs.
Pick Ghana.
No dogs.
Or pick Barbados. Or pick Aruba. You picked the worst country in the world.
You said inherently black people are not violent.
We're not. But all right, let me get it straight.
Marvin.
Black people, in the continent of Africa, you've picked one country at the bottom. And you're using your findings of that.
You've got Kenya, Uganda,
you've got Nigeria, Ghana, Mali.
Is your country violent?
You got 56 countries in Africa, bro. You picked one. And to use results. You know what it is? That's like a girl saying to you, Nigerian men are this, that. All right, cool. Well, Nigerian men in Tottenham are... you're killing me, listen, picking a German in Tottenham, bro.
Listen, I see what Keith's trying to do, but my argument still stands.
Okay, Marvin, you know what I mean, cool.
So
he's doing a deep dive now.
He's gonna pick Sudan or Ethiopia or one of them ones.
You know what I mean? So literally like
Somalia.
So homicide rates, you know what I mean, by countries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll say the top 20.
Mm-hmm. Wait, before you do that, is it pre-colonization or after being colonized?
Obviously, it's going to be after colonized.
So it's the white man, bro.
It's the white man.
Yeah.
Cool. So for context, the number that I was going to say for South Africa for rapes and murders within a 3-month period was 7,000.
Jesus.
7,000?
Jesus. You know what I mean? Brother.
7,000 in 3 months. That's not 12 months.
But you know, in South Africa, people get HIV on purpose because the government will look after them. I spoke to some South African people.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Some people get HIV on.
They did it for the meds to cook drugs.
They do it for the what?
Medication, because they used to cook drugs with them.
So they'll get HIV on purpose. Jesus Christ. But let me give you this.
So El Salvador's number one.
Okay.
Jamaica's number two.
For what? Violence.
Big up the yard, man.
Murder.
Mad.
Lesotho is number three.
Where's that?
Like near South Africa.
Okay.
Honduras is number four.
Yeah, all the Colombian man, isn't it?
Belize is number five.
Cocaine.
Venezuela's number six.
Mm-hmm.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines is number seven.
Bruv, I swear all they have is like soca music, bruv.
South Africa is number eight. St. Kitts and Nevis is number nine.
West Indies is moving wicked.
They might just shake Nigeria's choppers.
Number 10.
Yeah,
so Bahamas is number
11. No, hold on.
Trinidad and Tobago is number 12.
Do me a favor. This poll, what is it? What's it say at the beginning, at the top?
A murder rate by
country. Whoa, that's a pause.
Was it said at the beginning?
Homicide rate.
Yeah, you got you there. You might as well do the soundboard for yourself. So, I mean,
it's homicide rate, but you know what I mean? Basically, global homicide rates, murder rate by country.
So, wait, and America's not in there?
But a country like 100 people, it's in comparison to the population.
All the Caribbean people are shaking hips and slapping hips.
This thing here.
You need to check this thing. No, I'll send you the
America alone, when we spoke on the podcast last time and we talk about serial killers, America's had 3,204 serial killers.
That is crazy.
The country in second place was on that 90.
Wait, can but we serial say killers GM, bro? I think it's the food,
So forget serial killers. You've just got men that are just getting killed.
Yeah, but it's semantics, though, isn't it? If you're talking about serial killers and homicides.
Yeah, because the top 10 countries with the, you know what I mean, highest murder rate per 100K people, El Salvador, Jamaica, Lesotho, Honduras, Belize, Venezuela, St. Vincent, South Africa, St. Kitts, and
all
Nigeria.
Black countries.
I can't lie, I don't believe that, bro.
Yeah, and the countries, 10 countries with the lowest murder rate per 100K, San Marino, Monaco, Andorra, Isle of Man, Singapore, Japan, Senegal, Oman, Luxembourg, and Qatar.
The only problem the rich people playing this.
No, the only problem with that is garbage because Isle of Man...
No one's there.
No one's there. It's fucking four people. And then there's, what's the other country? San Marino, Laos.
Yeah, I was thinking of San Marino.
There's about 40 people in San Marino. And there's another one you said.
And then 40 people ain't killing each other.
And Monaco
as
well.
If they were violent, then 40 people would be
in Monaco. Monaco's technically in France, bro.
Yeah, everyone's bought
it. It's money.
It's just like, it's rich people there.
But all I'm saying is, trust me, there's, you know, can speak of, you know, violence being not violent or whatever.
Do you know what it is? Yeah, in terms of this whole conversation, I hate this word, but it applies. There's a nuance to what we're saying. It's true, bro. Because as you were saying before, in terms of there's reasons as to certain things. Like, for example,
we can get into the reasons, but you know what I mean? We can also say, like, the conversation was, you know what I mean? These people are not violent. You know what I mean? Mm. We've ascertained that they are. If we want to get
these people,
like, we're talking about black people. You were saying black people.
I don't think the statistics say otherwise.
No, I love my people as black people. No, we cannot run away from the stats.
No, black people.
Bro,
black people
it's
not.
The white man.
Hold on. So let me get this straight.
So you're telling me black people do not have the capacity for violence? Why?
I didn't say that. I said black people are not naturally violent.
What does that mean?
I didn't say we don't have everyone in life. If you know about the Bible, Adam and Eve, whatever, and temptation, sin, whatever. Everyone has a capacity for evil, capacity for bad. But generally speaking, black people are not.
What are you trying to say is that?
What does that even mean?
We were chilled.
We're chilled people.
The butt fucking.
So basically, you're telling me on Shaka Zulu and all of those people, before the white people came, we were just chilling and
the problem you're doing this whole
That's the story
it's not even that. No, what Keith's doing extremes. I'm not saying that there wasn't wars fought for land and turf and whatever. That's what happens. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying generally speaking,
we're calm.
No, not that we're calm, but it's like things were done because of you looking after this, or I'm taking care of this, or I'm trying to... You want to take over my land? No, you can't. Mm. We're going to beef over that. But generally speaking, but when you look at like some of the stuff that the West has done, it's like, bro, you had it already. Mm. Like some of the stuff you've done, like you had Congo already. Mm. The stuff you started doing to the people while you were there is beyond what... Bro, you had it.
So all that you're saying is, you know what I mean? You know, you're saying there was a means to an end at that time. And, you know, white people, like, they have their means to their end. And what you're saying is your means to an end is more justifiable than theirs.
No, I didn't say that. I don't know what words you're trying to put in anyone's mouth. I didn't say that. I'm saying to you is this here. For example, if I want to rob King now, yeah, uh-huh. I can rob King, innit? Uh-huh. Like, as in, if I want King's tie, I can, all right, cool.
Just yank it.
Take off the car. Yeah, yeah. The moment King give me the tie, that's done. What I wanted, right?
Mm. But you're saying you're going
to extra. But for me now to say, you know what, King, you can lose that leg.
Mm.
Bang. You know what, yeah? Let me lose the eye. Mm. But that's beyond that. That's
no, I hear that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So robbing him wasn't bad.
You don't get what I'm saying.
No, but that's why I said the human race is violent. I didn't say black people. You were speaking about black people. I was speaking about human race.
What I'm trying to say is the examples over time, like when you look at history books and whatever, and the level of violence, what's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say...
Perpetuate.
That's my... Come on. You're dyslexic. You're a liar. You just want the computer. Yeah. By certain races, it's not.
At one point in time, we were peaceful, but then it kicked in.
100%.
But what time is that?
Cheeks clapping.
But my thing is, you know what I mean? For me, it's this, and I always feel like, you know, sometimes when, for me, the conversation around, you know, where people will say, you know what I mean? You know, Africans or black people were like this before the white man came and so on and so on. For me, I feel like it's one of the most insulting conversations for us is because we didn't have this agency. We needed white people to, you know what I mean, to make us a certain way. Like, we couldn't have been that way ourselves. So we're like, we're just so, you know what I mean, so, so impressionable, you know what I mean, that we needed the white man. One second. Cool. So, you know what I mean, we're so impressionable that without the white man, we couldn't have been this way, you know what I mean? Where people say, before the white man came around, we weren't violent, we weren't this, we weren't that, we weren't da-da-da. But we were all of those things because we had our conflicts and so on and so on. When I say, when it comes to white people and certain things, there's, you know what I mean, there's a different level of this, maybe this has happened and stuff like that. But bro, you know what I mean, we had agency before that. We lived a certain way and we could have been all of those things. We were, you know what I mean, conquering and taking over stuff existed long before the white man.
But Keith, I think, but what you don't understand is, like, what you're trying to say is, I get what you're saying, because in any land in general, you had conflicts, you had arguments, you had things happening, whether it was in America before the white settlers came. American Indians probably had beef. It was standard. Aborigines in Australia had beef. It was standard. Do you know what I'm saying? In terms of, and this is not saying, like, us as brethren, I've had an argument with Rich before. Like, doesn't mean I want to kill him. Do you know what I'm saying? Or do anything mad. But, like, me and Rich, not really falling out, but there's issues. Me and Keith had arguments before. But at the end of the day, like, that's going to happen in general. But what I'm trying to say to you is, for example, I could just use Nigeria, for example. When the white people came to Nigeria, Nigeria's not even what it was called. That's one thing.
It wasn't called Nigeria.
It was just different, like, people in one land. And the Yoruba people understood the Igbo people. The outer people understood, all right, you man up north, as long as you stay there, we're calm. The Igbo people are like, we're here, Yoruba people. So that was it. When the British came and they changed the name and whatever, whatever, they wanted to implement power. So they knew that, all right, you know, let's give the outer people the power because they're the ones that we can control the most. Then you got things like the Biafran War, where Igbo people are dying in millions. Do you know what I'm saying? Where it got to the point where Igbo people are like, oh, Yoruba people, you didn't back us. So now, like, even that, and then even when you look at documentaries, you have Hausa people saying, I would rather employ somebody white for this position than somebody Yoruba or Igbo. If I can't get somebody white, then I might employ them, man. So you've now created a country where it's dog eat dog, literally crabs in a barrel, that, like, you've created genuine hate for one another, and we don't even realize why.
Manipulation, innit?
Speak to Yoruba people now, for example, Igbo people or Hausa people. They don't even know they're doing it. A Yoruba person might be like, "Are you want to marry Igbo?" They might be like, because it's ingrained in you now that we're kind of against each other now. Whereas before, not that we were against each other, but it was like, my granddad was Muslim, my grandma was Christian. Like, in Nigeria before, it was a bit like, certain things didn't matter. So I'm saying, I get what you're saying, Keith, but you got to look at things that have been put in place in certain countries, even South Africa, where you've got black people that weren't allowed to even study. They had to study. The biggest qualification they could do was like a qualification in gardening. Like, they couldn't study nothing because they knew that you can't have knowledge. So if I can't have knowledge, I can't feed my family. So I'm at a level where I can't get above. So if we're all in this place together and we can't do nothing, what's that going to create?
It comes from,
but you know our story. You know us as people. You know our story.
Lynch letters. Bro, you know our story. How to control.
But you know what my problem with this conversation is? Is, you know, the insinuation that, you know, I mean, our history begins with the white man. We had things going on before the white man. For me, I'll use Shaka Zulu. When I look at my culture and stuff like that, Shaka was a conqueror. He would go from, you know what I mean, village to village, territory to territory, and he would conquer and he would kill and he would pillage and he would take over because he wanted more. This is, you know what I mean, the British failed to conquer him when they came over him. So for him, bro, he was doing this long before the white man was here.
Even
so
Haile Selassie as well, he would go to people and be like, I'm going to show you how I'm going to win. So they don't even intervene in violence because he already
long,
told you.
But this is long winning. Before the white man has arrived. So for me, like, I hate conversations where it feels like everything we do and everything about us is centered around the white man did this. Bro, we were doing shit before the white man came.
I get what you're saying.
There are things the white man has done, yes. But we have a history before the white man.
No,
we
have
things. There's violence before. 100%. There's lives. There's this. There's so many things. There's, you know, there's the history where, you know what I mean, colonization has come over. And there's a long spate of things that come off colonization. But like I'm saying, like for me, I feel like as a point of pride, we sometimes, bro, nigga, we was on
Can't things be amplified after a certain event?
But they were there. My thing is, they were there. For us to say we are not inherently violent, we are.
No, we're not. You're
saying the white man made us this way?
No, what I'm trying to say.
But that's what you're saying.
I didn't. No. Yeah. Technically,
they help.
Why is no one blaming GM food? No, but that's why
I say they amplified. Because obviously, again, even in India, the whole partition, like, remember, different parts of India broke up.
Sepoys.
Just what I'm saying. That, so remember, the white man went over there and the exact same thing they done
in India Company, West Side.
Exact same thing they done in Africa. They might have went to a man and said, yeah, we'll give you the power because we can control you, X, Y, Z, but then you don't like them. And look, they had their dramas. Now Indians broke up. So my thing is this.
The Dutch East India Company.
My thing is this.
Okay, cool. We might have had some history before the white man got there, but when the white man got there, they amplified stuff. And now, years down the line.
Amplifying stuff means, you know what I mean? You make it worse, you make it, but it exists.
No, not to that degree. My thing is this, Keith. In terms of the white people as well, what they brought in, they brought like a different kind of structure of like, fuck shit up. Like, as in, like, for example, black people just want to, I'm going to war you, innit? As in, like, this is a war. Whoever best man wins, I'm taking everything. My people are more important than your people. Cool. But white people want a vibe of...
strip your dignity.
Do you know what?
Your soul.
Divide and conquer this shit.
We're going to make you just like us.
It's not even that.
Remember, colonization.
There is that. But I'm saying, for example, little things like even civil wars in countries. As in, like, all right, cool. Your government doesn't want to work with us. Cool. We're just going to pay them. We're going to give the militia
some money.
Arms, whatever. You man fight, do what you're doing. When you get control, that happens all the time.
A civil war is, you know what I mean? You have a group of people that have a disagreement, and then we have a fight amongst us. You know what I mean? Where, you know what I mean? Some people believe this, some other people believe that. And we will fight until, you know what I mean? Whichever side wins.
But the difference with Shaka Zulu you're talking about, Shaka Zulu weren't trying to hide what he was doing.
Brother, so he was pillaging, he was killing, he broke. Marvish, you're saying, bro, Shaka we're talking about violence.
With his chest. The West are not doing it with their chest. The West are doing it like
on a creepy thing.
I don't know what you're talking about. We ain't done nothing, bro.
But they're not killing.
I don't know what you're seeing in your head. We ain't done shit. Yeah, make the call. That 5, 7 full
but of my thing is, but is there not killing be done? So you're telling me, bro, you're telling me it's different where, you know what I mean, you're like, it's a means to an end, you know what I mean? Where in terms of, think about it, when conquering was being done, we come into, you know what I mean, like, we're taking over whatever, we're going to kill, you know what I mean, we're going to kill the men, essentially, or, you know what I mean, or children, or men, you know what I mean, of any age, that could be a problem, essentially. We'll take over the women and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're
saying,
them up.
But now we're saying, but nah, the way we were doing it,
I never said that. I'm talking about the degree of what was done. So, for example, if I come in this studio, for example, if you've got two brothers, for example, you can have someone who shoots one person, then you've got a school shooter. Who's worse?
But then it goes back to the Bible, sin is a sin.
But that's what I'm trying to say to you when we talk about violence. That's like someone saying those people are, they're both violent. Who's more violent?
What was the school shooter or who?
I'm just saying, for example, if I just come in and shoot at you, man, for example, hopefully I'm hoping I'll hit you, one of you, but I don't. You got someone who goes to the school and shoots, that kills 30 people.
Yeah, I'm going to say the school
And that's like someone saying, yeah, but means to the end, both of them want to do the same. No.
I'm going
to
say
it's but there's context. But those 30 people could have done something.
So now we're saying the other motherfucker wasn't good enough to hit no one.
No, but that's my point in terms of the context.
His aim was terrible.
In terms of what we're talking about. That's the whole thing we're trying to say, Keith. The context in terms of, yes, we're not saying black people haven't been violent. Because, for example, even if you're using Shaka Zulu, for example, that's one dude. That's like Genghis Khan, for example, was one dude. He controlled an army.
Yeah.
What he said went. So it's just like, these men might not have done it if he didn't say it.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So Shaka Zulu, that's one man. That's like Hitler, for example, in Germany. I don't know if all the Germans would have been on it, but it was timing.
But
that man have said, do it. You have to do it. Even in the army in the UK, in or Iraq, you get sometimes where the, like, certain man are saying, go in there. Man don't want to go in there.
I've
got a direct order. That I have to, and you've had soldiers afterwards saying, I knew what I was doing was wrong. But I couldn't do it because mutiny.
I've seen
mutiny and I can get court-martialed. So I have to do it. That's like, so that's like someone saying, all right, cool. But I'm just saying that in general, if you tally this, that record, machine for machine,
AK for Glock.
Do you know what it is? That's like saying, Keith, I'll give you the same. In football terms, that's like saying everyone's trying to win the league. Mm. Cool. But Man City, Liverpool, mm. United have got way more titles than everyone else.
Mm.
Mm. Arsenal, nowhere near. Chelsea, nowhere near.
Mm.
That's like someone saying, yeah, it's not the same.
But there's men who play Sunday league football, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you can sit there and say they may not be playing league games and stuff like that, but they probably play more games every week than some of these men in the Prem.
Wait.
It's not the same level, but niggas are out there scoring goals.
It's not the same level, bro.
They're scoring goals.
You're playing against the
I hear you.
Niggas are scoring
goals. The keeper curve and jump.
Yeah,
there's no keep proper lines.
The grass is uneven. But goals are being
It doesn't work like that.
You know what I mean?
No,
I mean, when it comes to killing and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
A kill is a kill.
A kill is a kill. You know what I mean? And this is it. You know?
Is that let's look at the level then. Put King Leopold in this by himself.
Yeah.
He's won.
Yeah, no,
that's one man.
You know what's crazy?
They never speak about him.
See, this is the thing. For me today, you know what I mean? We'll have this conversation properly. I'm not having no comparison. I'm not saying this person's this. The conversation we're having, we ain't moving the needle today. The conversation we had.
Who moves the needle?
I'm not having no quarreling about black people. I was speaking about human race.
Oh,
fuck off.
It's true. The human race is everyone, bro. You said black people. I said human race.
Bro,
it's true.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I am not quarreling.
I can't wait for you to listen to this back.
For me, my conversation or whatever, for me, it wasn't about comparison. For me, it wasn't about who's worse, who's this, who's done this, who's done this.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. If you're doing that, you're having a different conversation from the one I was having. I was saying to you that, you know, you said black people are not inherently violent, and I said they are. Yeah. I said, for me, I feel like as a black person, it is, especially the way we speak of white people, essentially. Black people come over here and say, we taught white people this. We taught white people this. White people didn't know none of these things before they came around us. And then you're just going to let them just run rings around you. And your niggas are proud of that.
Two-fifths of the world.
You're telling these people that we taught you niggas.
Two-fifths of the world.
And sometimes as black people, when we speak of white people, I'm like, you guys speak about, you know, we taught them how to read. We taught them how to shower. And you let these motherfuckers run rings around you. You let these cave dwellers come out here and run rings around you.
I'm not even saying that.
I'm not saying, when these men came with a gun, these niggas came and took everything against sugar, when these men came with a gun, it was done, a Super Bowl, when they got off the thing and they shot the first African on the beach
yeah,
bow, everyone said, you see this? I don't know what's going on, but these men are wicked.
Yeah.
A man threw a fit, man threw a spear,
yeah.
Missed this. Man, wow. What is this?
Man threw a stone, you know. There's a few different arguments here. Obviously, you're speaking about black people. Keith's got the pushback.
What Keith's saying, I get it. But what I'm saying, do you know what it is? I feel like Keith's saying black people are violent.
Mm.
What I'm trying to say is, I don't think... The reason why I'm saying it is because I travel a lot as well, yeah?
Mm.
And I see black people in all different countries, yeah?
Mm.
And I realise that, like, Britain is a very bad country.
Yeah.
Like, no one says, like if I see you, I don't say hello to you.
Mm.
Whereas most country you go to, if I go to Nigeria now, for example, most black people that see me will say,
hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Afa. Yeah. Mm. Afa.
Kids are saying hello. Like, they walk past you, say hello. You know what I'm saying? When I go to Dubai, for example, all the black people, cool. Other countries that I go to and I see black people, like, I'm not saying black people don't have issues, but it's like a lot of the countries that do have issues have, like, not ghettos, but it's kind of like there's areas that, like, and influences within that area. For example, even, like, if you look at certain rap songs, yeah, the same way we're speaking about is, like, the same black people that are promoting these songs, they're not living this life.
Mm.
They're not evil people. They're not bad people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're being influenced by something. Or they think it's cool to listen to this music and perpetuate this stereotype, even though they're not living it.
Yeah.
So it's weird. It's like Everyone loves the badness, but they're not bad.
Yeah.
So everyone's not bad. Like, everyone's not doing it.
Not everyone's not bad.
Because if that's the case, then bear man will be doing it. Like, or taking part in it to some degree. A lot of men are not.
But if the statistics are saying we out here killing.
You don't get what I'm saying. Sisters can say they're
out here
killing.
The niggas are smiling at you, bro, but them numbers are saying these niggas is out here killing.
I don't think you're getting what I'm saying.
Because Marvin, man are waving at you, Marvin, and they're going, to chef someone else. Because you're saying, you're abroad, the man is smiling at you, and then going over to you, you know what I mean? You go do a chef's.
I said I done my quarter system.
You might get what I'm saying. Keep just being dumb.
I'm not being dumb, Marvin. The numbers. I told you, like, when we said it, you know what I mean? I brought up some statistics earlier, and you were like, are you picked?
SA, bro.
Brother, is that not a majority?
That wasn't just SA, though. No, the first one he went with.
The first one. I picked SA, you know what I mean? And you're like, SA. And then I pulled out a list, you know what I mean? And even then, I was like, bro, the numbers say what they say. We can get into why.
You know
when we speak of new ones, we can get into the whys.
Cool.
That's, but like I'm saying, we cannot say these men are not out here doing a chef.
That's what me and King are saying, though. The why is the important
man
part.
Man dragged you in this way.
No.
King is like,
yeah,
drag me up.
No, but you're
saying about it.
Sipping his coke, bro.
Do you know what's sick as well, yeah? All right, the top 10 countries and the top bottom countries, I guarantee you the top bottom countries haven't been
colonized.
Can I ask you guys?
That's important. That is important.
Can I ask you the top?
Because they ain't got shit.
That's my point.
Can I ask you a real question?
That's happened. Yeah, done.
So...
Even before white people were around in Monaco, they were doing the chef in Monaco.
But Keith, that's my point, is in terms of...
So can I ask you guys a question? We always say that the saviour to us black people is the black family, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, these people who are doing the killings are probably, some of them are married, probably got families and all that. So now the question is, what is really our saviour to our non-violent behaviour? Just us being normal people. Because we always say, oh, the black family will keep us together. Mum and dad and kids and all that. But these countries, they have mum and dad and kids.
I think it's environment.
I think, you know what I mean?
We can't change that, though.
But my thing is, as human beings, like...
So we're fucked from now to ever.
For me, it goes back to what Rich was saying is, as human beings, we are inherently violent.
Mm.
That's what human beings do. You know what I mean? Inherently, as human beings, bro, it is human nature to want, you know, enough for you or more. For you.
I don't know if humans are inherently violent.
That's just
Keith.
No. Literally, human beings are
inherently violent.
Bro, we're violent, bro.
No, maybe.
I saw a statistic.
So, how about a baby killing a bug?
But some babies won't kill a bug.
If the baby sees a bug, they will just switch.
Yeah, but that's not. Marv, the baby doesn't know what they're doing.
Marv. Listen.
So if I'm older and I'm shooting 20 people, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing.
No, but that's different because you have reasoning and you've grown up. You know what you're saying. What I'm trying to say to you, I feel like. I don't think humans are inherently violent. I think humans have the capacity to sin. I don't think the term violent is a very key word because I don't think everyone's inherently violent, bro.
I saw a statistic.
No, not everyone. Like when we talk about humans, what happens? Like humans are inherently violent. That doesn't mean every human is violent. You know what I mean? And with us having an, you know what I mean? And sometimes it doesn't mean you will exercise that ability that you have to be violent. And a lot of people do not exercise it because of consequences in where they live. You know what I mean? You find that when you go to certain countries, you find that countries where it's easier to get away with a lot of things, you know what I mean? There's more violence happening and so on and things. When you look at South Africa, if you look at South Africa compared to here, you're less likely to get away with a murder here than in South Africa. I feel like if the laws were similar here as they are in South Africa, the murder here would be probably close to what it's like over there. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like consequence is one of the things that keeps people from doing things. So people don't just not do things because they're good people. It's the consequences. You sit there as a person, you weigh up the pros and cons, and you're like, in the UK where we live, you know what I mean? In the UK, it's one of the countries where, you know what I mean? If you do an M, there's a 90% chance you're going to do time for it. Mm. So you sit there and you think to yourself, no. In South Africa, bro, you could do a madness. And you know what I mean? It just goes under the radar. I'll give you an example. You see El Salvador, which was at the top of the list. The president of El Salvador, when he came in, the new guy came in or whatever, he took all the gang members, you know what I mean? Or anyone, even MS-13 tattoos, and he built mega jails and he threw everyone in prison. Yeah. People were complaining about human rights violations or why are you doing this. The murder rate in the country went down within a space of, 3 years, went down by 57%.
Crazy.
No, but Keith, I get what you're saying, but the reason I don't agree is, let me read this here. There's a few things I'll read. Are humans inherently aggressive? Humans are both naturally peaceful and violent. depending on their brain and their early childhood experiences. People who have negative early childhood experiences are more prone to be aggressive.
Mm.
So we're not all inherently
violent.
It's
development of their frontal lobe.
It's development of what you've seen in your environment. All right, there's another thing here that says, the word violence derives from an Indo-European root that refers to life. The natural instinct of violence is thus not a destructive instinct, much less a death instinct, but a natural life and survival instinct that corresponds to the instinct of self-preservation in Sigmund Freud's
theory of instincts.
And also it says aggression can be learned in the home, in the school, and from television programs. Children subjected over extended periods to repeat frustration, rejection, and other adverse stimuli may eventually learn to strike back with aggression and perceive the world as a hostile place.
So incels.
What I'm trying to say to you is that when humans are not inherently violent, it's a learned behavior over time in terms of whether in your environment it's glorified. So within the black community, violence is glorified in our music. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why you get people doing the whole bad man thing and they're not, you're not nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Or you've been in a household where it's a bit mad or airy where it's, even for example, us growing up, journey from your house to school
was peak sometimes.
Brother, you never knew what was going to happen. Like on the bus, walking home, so even now, I guarantee you, we've got learned behaviors from them days where it's like, if we see someone walking,
you might stop and wait for them to go or
something. Yeah, or we're going to move or do you know what I'm saying? Or someone says, speaks to you, you're immediately on guard, what's my answer? What?
Let me
reverse your car in as opposed to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Let me explain something to you. I remember reading a book, The Dhamma Lama, How to Find Peace in a Something Something World, and I remember
little boys on the mouth.
They're dumb.
I knew Keith was going to say that.
I remember.
We gotta take what he says with a pinch of salt.
I hear you.
If your point is supported, then we can scratch that.
It was more about what the interview was saying. And basically, since 1945, there's been 26 days of peace on Earth.
Mm.
That means everyone.
Yeah.
And the point I was making is that, again, you speaking about black people, you had the pushback. And my point is this. The human race is violent, bro. 1945 was a long time ago. 26 days, that's less than a month.
Yeah, but the problem is, and people can say problem. The problem is, Rich, yeah, is this. There's so many people that have ulterior motives for what they want.
Mm.
And it gets to the point where they don't care who they hurt in their pursuit of these goals. Because remember, if you look at places somewhere like Congo, for example.
Mm.
Different.
Congo is the most minimal rich country in the world.
Mm.
In terms of the amount of money they make per year,
it's crazy.
Billions. But the countries that are benefiting from that, it's not Congo, it's the other countries.
The Benin family or something?
So I'm saying, even in terms of the diamonds, when I done the drunk history thing, and there was this big diamond, I think was it Prince Charles?
Someone's got it on the crown.
I think the Queen's got it.
Yeah.
But that diamond was from.
Not SA. Where was it? It was one of the
Congo. I think it's Congo.
Mm. Yeah, one of them countries.
But it's just that's how the beers company was two brothers or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's instead of they were separate, but they were do you know what? We can do this together.
We can eat together.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I'm a lot of the people making money out of these countries are not from these countries.
Mm.
So when you see that, it's but they don't have to see it. For example, that's me making money in Dubai. I don't care what's going on over there. I don't care how you're making it, but I'm getting it in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that going on. So the world in general, you think someone can ring you and say, boy, you see that 1.2 billion you're making a year? They're trying to fight back over there and say, you can't have it no more. Whatever you need to do.
Do it.
For me to keep making that 1.2 billion, I didn't see it.
Whatever you need to do,
that's part of the problem, though.
But you know what's scary?
100%, that's what I'm saying.
What's scary for me, you see what you've just described. You see for them, they don't see it. You know what I mean? Out of sight, out of mind.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? It's easy to ignore shit. It's not happening.
As long as it's not at the front of your doorstep.
Which is why it's crazier for me that our leaders and people in Africa could do all of these things to us and still see it. For me, that makes you a worse person because you are there. You can see your people suffering. Let me show you something that I read the other day.
They're not there. They're in Monaco, bruv. Watching Formula One.
But bro, let me, you know what I mean?
Keep you saying that. Man's yard is banging.
Bro.
Man's got Rolls Royce, whatever.
There are more Nigerians in this room. Statistically, there's more Nigerians in here than anyone. So we'll just run with that.
I'm from Ghana.
So it's, you know what I mean? 50%.
I thought I smelled egg.
Ah, you're mad.
Remember the last conversation?
That's no more, it's fine. Don't worry.
Right, listen back to this. Yeah. Nigerian President Bola Tinubu's first supplementary budget when he was president, when he got signed in.
What year was he?
This is when he came in. When did he come in? Last year or this year?
Okay.
Yeah. So they were like, his first supplementary budget includes a fleet of SUVs for himself and his wife.
Jesus.
A presidential yacht. And renovation of his villa amid a cost of living crisis.
We don't help
the poorest people. For himself and his wife, so two people.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie to you, but that's lie.
No, but we don't help though.
No, but the thing is that's lie.
People are suffering.
One man took 800 million out of the country.
No, but you know what's mad, lad?
Do you remember the time when Good Luck Jonathan was crazy in power, bruv? Do you know in Nigeria, like, things were so bad at certain times where, you know, the national bank and whatever, where they would keep the money. No, people would come in with handwritten pieces of paper. Come collect money out of the reserve. You know when we sit there, bro?
Mad.
Oh, my mother's like, that's not exaggeration.
Yeah, we don't
that's
help.
No,
I
hear that's what something you're saying.
People were coming in. People in power were coming in with handwritten pieces of paper
to check?
Withdraw
rich,
money.
Rich. No, but Rich.
You know what I mean? Not even like, it's a paper with a letterhead where this is state. Handwritten money. And they've seen their people, Marvin. You drive past these area boys starving.
But the thing is, the difference is, yes, Nigeria do that. I'm not saying it.
No, and it's not just Nigeria. No, it's across the board. Cool. I just use that as an example. Like, so I'm not trying to single out Nigerians for anyone listening.
African countries, they do it in general. Cool, But they do it here. But the thing is, but they do it here in such a different way. They'll tell you 32 billion has been spent on Crossroad. You know what? We're not completing it. The money's gone.
It's called white collar crime.
Where has the 32 billion gone?
It's called white collar crime.
Where did they say? I swear, a few years ago, they said they spent 160 mil on the roads.
But do you know why it's worse where we come from?
No, but that's different because the reason why it's different is because you can't see that one because councils get allocated a budget.
Bro, so how much potholes there are?
One sec. That's always going to happen. But remember, that's why if you look at every, roughly around April, that's where you see bare roadworks because that's the end of the whatever.
But
when they do stuff like 32 billion for Crossrail, we're not going to complete it. Or is it C2C, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're not completing it. We're going to do halfway. Where's the money gone? Or COVID, government
one
test,
man got five
whatever.
COVID.
But do you know why? Do you know why they think it's different?
And the thing is, the money disappears. And you don't know where it goes.
But do you know what the difference between their scam here and our scam home? Over here, bro, they gave us, you know what I mean, a decent enough quality of life that they could get away with anything.
Wait.
And I will say they gave us a decent enough quality of life where they can sneak certain things past. Back home, their leaders are like, your niggas are sleeping outside. And that is it. And that's my problem. You know, like the way they do things, bro. You know, it's one of them ones where you're like, brother, you man style it out. That's the problem. Back home, bro, there's no style in it. I'm like, bro, everywhere we go in the world, there is corruption, there is stealing. Our people, they're stealing is like, my nigga.
Listen
to this, Marvin. You tell me that, look at this country that we live in, if this was to happen, you tell me how people would react in this country, right? Following the devaluation of the Malawi kwacha, which is their currency, by 44% last month, and the resultant rise in the cost of living, Malawi President Reverend Dr. Lazarus Chakwera will be leading his country in a day of prayer on the Thursday.
He said it's Lazarus, bruv.
December.
Reverend Lazarus.
Bro, Marvin, you know what I mean? Imagine we're sitting here, bro, and Rishi Sunak was like, on the 7th of December, you know what I mean? We're all going to congregate.
Let's pray.
Brother, a man said, fuck them food banks, you know what I mean? We are coming together.
You are going to
and
fast.
We are praying.
But for example, in Nigeria now, if I buy a house in Nigeria, it's mine, bro. It's done. Like, or
for how long?
No, it doesn't matter. Once you got the deed for the house,
you know,
it's
in
done.
Ghana, they sell the deeds to six different people for one lad, bro.
Yeah, but that's Ghana, bro.
You don't sell the property to six different people.
No, but you're forgetting. Yeah, but that's if you've not researched what you're doing properly.
It's a scam. It's just because there's the loophole. Funny you should say that.
But when it's in Nigeria, for example, like if you got a house or whatever, like in Nigeria, you're not paying council tax, then you're not playing this tax.
All you need is a generator.
But all you need in Nigeria is once you buy your car, it's yours. You got to pay for petrol, bro. You ain't got to pay road tax. You ain't got to pay.
You get licked up by a car for days, you're finished.
No, I hear that. But you ain't got to pay this. You ain't got to pay. Like in this country, we pay so much, bro. Think about this. When the month hits and you get your paycheck, then when you pay everything you have to pay, most people are like, Jesus.
Let me give you context, right? So in Zimbabwe at the moment,
take me out.
Take me out.
The biggest issue that a lot of people are having in Zimbabwe is the cost of certain things and so on. So we have the internet companies in Zimbabwe or whatever. So the average cost for having Wi-Fi in your home in Zimbabwe, I'd say, is between $200 to $300.
Wow,
yeah,
what a month.
For the month.
Jesus.
For the month.
Jesus.
To have good Wi-Fi.
Damn, that's
no, no, literally. And so basically, you see, Elon Musk has Starlink. You know what I mean? So to get Starlink back home, you know what I mean, it would be about $52 a month in comparison to the 300. But they don't want the Starlink for many reasons. One's their company starts to lose money because they're charging a madness. And the second is they can't turn off the internet when they want to. Because, you know, election time. Happens in Zimbabwe, happens in South Africa, happens in Nigeria. When election time comes, you know what I mean? And stuff is happening, they want to turn it off at whim. When we have Starlink, they turn that off. Marvin, you know you were talking about houses where you're like back home, you buy a house, it's yours.
Yeah.
So this is a new thing. So this just happened just the other day and they're trying to push it through government in Zimbabwe. In a move that shows that the Zimbabwean economy has now collapsed, the government will now tax Zimbabweans and anyone else who owns houses in Zimbabwe 1% of the house's value. It means that if your house is worth $400,000 or more, you will pay. So if your house costs $400,000, you will pay the state $4,000 a year. Damn. It means that with immediate effect of that tax coming, rentals will also go up in Zimbabwe as property owners will simply pass on the tax to their tenants. 10 years of paying that tax for a person who owns one house worth $400,000 will amount to $40,000. That's US dollars, by the way, or even more as the house value goes up.
That's crazy. So service charge.
Because remember,
people to start leaving.
But this is it. But that's my thing. You know what I mean? And over here, they do this thing. They do all of these things to us. And as crazy as it is, over here, you know what I mean? We have that basic living. Because think about it, bro. We complain about so many things over here, right? But there's certain things we have in place where you're like, you know what I mean? As crazy as certain things get, there's, you know what I mean, a certain thing. Back home, bro, people, they, you know what I mean? Like, I see stuff they put in place, bro, when I'm like, in Zimbabwe, bro, the unemployment rate is 90-something percent.
No, there's got... There's,
no, 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 do you know, but, bro, how is the unemployment rate 90-something? That means 90-something percent of the people have no gains from his employment.
Sugar daddy in Zimbabwe,
that's
bro.
Got, no, I get what you're saying, but even here, for example, like, you got inheritance tax. So, for example, you can have a yard that you... That you've paid a mortgage for, you've paid way over than what the house costs. You pass on or whatever. You want to give it to your child.
40% in it or something. Yeah,
but why am I paying tax again? Why am I paying tax on this house? Because technically speaking, if I have to pay tax on this house, I can't own it. I have to now sell it to pay you.
Yeah,
and what I get back, I can't even buy a house for this.
But over here, if you're, you know what I mean.
So you're kind of.
But there's loopholes where we can put shit in trust and so on and so on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's loopholes, but the point.
But back home, bro, for some of these people, bro, there's no food. There's no food.
No, but you know, yeah, I get that. But in Nigeria, for example, it's the same thing. Like in these countries, there are courts and whatever. But the problem is, a lot of people can't afford.
You miss, sorry, Mom. You miss, that. You know what I mean? King talking about he was selling pure water before he got here.
Yeah, man. Well, say anyway, my mom that's gave me the Mickey Mouse treatment, innit? Saying that, oh, we're gonna see Mickey Mouse. So I go on the plane. I said, "Mom, it's not Mickey." She said, "Shut up!" Drop me in the village with my grandma, innit? My grandma every morning she sells pure water.
Why does she drop me? How old are you?
Courage. I was like 7. I was a bad kid. I was doing crazy shit. I was on my window, putting capes on, saying I'm Superman. My dad is walking past. The whole neighborhood can see. I said, "Dad, I can fly." He said, "Go on, there, job." It's a job. Kill yourself so you can put me out of this misery. I was like,
Maybe today.
Yeah, maybe today.
He thought he was getting Disneyland. That's why I said Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, gave me the Mickey Mouse treat.
He thought he was getting Disneyland.
After this day, I'm still going to see Mickey Mouse. I swear that is on my heart, bro.
Do you know how crazy it is to think you're going to Disneyland and I'm sending pure water on the side of the road?
So every morning, I have pure water. And I have cocoa and porridge in it. So I help my grandma. So you get a towel, you tie it around, put on your head, you put the aluminium, you put the water, go on the surface, but ice water. And you'd be like, ice water.
I don't know if it's just me, but...
Oh, Lord.
I don't think it's that wild. I feel like the most wild thing about that story is your dad told you to jump.
Yeah.
Your dad saw you on the balcony and didn't even say, get him. Your dad said, jump.
But you know,
I was terrorizing my dad. I was just too much. Like,
that's not for me. Marvin, yeah, really bad. That's not even the wildest. Really bad. Marvin, that's not even the wildest.
Man, go fist you up. Man, give you a young, like... slap.
Bruv, I got everything. I got everything. I got the one you do your squats with hold your legs, and you put your hands up with the thing. Right, all of that. Belt of choice.
Marvin,
don't matter, bro.
Marvin, that is not the craziest part of that story. Like, you know when you talk about his dad wanted to jump and you're like, it's crazy. That's not crazy for me because I hear it. You know, you've had enough, Marvin, and you're like, just do it.
No, but for a 7-year-old kid,
Marvin.
Yeah, I was
thinking. You know, when you see a kid on the balcony, bro, you're like, and you might ring your wife and say, I was on the balcony. You might try to run up.
I don't think one better.
Johnson said it best.
I saw the advert. If is your parents abusing you, call this number. So I'm coming with chest now today.
And
I said,
you got it.
You will not beat me today. I said, Mom, you will not beat me today. She said, why? I said, because I watched this advert on TV and they said you can't. Mom picked up the phone. She said, call it. Please call it. Call it. I was just there freezing. Ah, tell me why she took off the phone wire and beat me with the wire, bro.
She'd have called the number.
What? Yeah. My parents gave zero fucks given. Bro. When I went Ghana, it changed me, though. I came back.
Dr. Umar Johnson said it best, yeah? He said, some of y'all don't want to hear this. Some of y'all don't want to hear this. You know? So some of your kids too bad. Mm. We might have to put him to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Wait, Bobby says. He's remember he's a psychologist now. I can't even psychologize. Bob, a man said, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Sometimes you gotta put him to sleep forever. And that's what King's dad was on, Marvin.
Yeah,
and King's dad was like, Marvin, 7 years old, we can start again.
Do you know what this is? What my dad had. So one of my brothers is half Nigerian from his other marriage.
Zup.
And the other one was from Ghana. So like my oldest brother is 60, innit? So my dad's been through. What? Yeah, my oldest brother is 60. Yeah. My oldest brother is 60.
Man's got a grandbrother.
Yeah. So because of that, my dad's been through the mud, innit? Yeah. My dad's been through the mud.
What the fuck?
Okay. So my dad had me at 50, innit?
God,
so
he
went messing around. I'm 34 now. So my dad had enough. So he's already had years of this bullshit.
Oh, okay.
So when I came, he was like,
he was tired.
Your dad's knees were clicking in the morning.
You know, bro. You know how you're lucky you can walk, bro. You're lucky you're walking and you're functioning.
Yeah, you're lucky you're 50, still here, bro.
You get them sperms that are like,
My dad's a psychiatric nurse.
Man said, you get them sperms that are 40% functioning.
And my dad's a psychiatric nurse.
Can you run fast?
Yeah. No, not anymore.
That's
what
that's worth.
Yeah. My dad's a psychiatric nurse, isn't it?
No, Keith said it because like we had kids that were old, he said the sperms weren't really
It was done out here.
Man got 50-year-old sperms.
But guess what? I'd come home to my dad, because he's a psychiatric nurse, having black eyes and shit when I was young, innit? Because a client could have hit him or anything. So he's already dealing with abuse at work. He's been doing this for years.
And
when
you coming out?
I was tired.
He's like, I'm done.
He was fed up with you.
Well, remember, we've had these conversations where we used to talk about when you're at home, where your dad has come from being a strong man where he comes from, and he spent the whole day with either these old people talking shit to him, these young people talking shit to him, and then you walk through the door, and the niggas like, oh, motherfucker, you about to get this work.
Remember, I came home one time from the library, yeah?
Yeah.
The way my dad slapped me, my mom's like, Jesus, it's my son. Bro, I couldn't hear shit for 3 days. That nigga slapped the shit out of me. I couldn't hear shit for 3 days. That my mom, because I was being late in it. I think it's the frustrations from work. This is just the frustrations.
Just worrying,
bro.
Yeah, right, bro. Cause I feel like there's a balance of being understanding with your parents. And then there's certain times where you're like, nigga, what the fuck? There was one time I had an argument with my dad, yeah? And yeah, so we've had this argument where he's accused me of something. And at the end of it, I've won the argument. Yeah, like where I proved that it's not whatever. And niggas like, it's my house, nigga. I win. Bro, to the point where like Marvin, he was so vexed, yeah? He was like, it's my house, nigga. What I say goes. I was like, nigga, but you're in the wrong. Bro says, no, I'm not. Nigga, this is my yard. What I say goes. Bro, to the point where I was like, so what the fuck is the point of this conversation then?
Yeah, but ain't that African parents for you?
Nigga, fuck your couch.
Nah, but my thing is, I genuinely feel like as a people, we've had this conversation. Mom will tell you, we've had it many times where like our parents deserve a certain level of grace simply because of the stuff they had to go through, coming from home, coming here, doing whatever. But I also feel like there's certain times when you're like, you're taking the fucking piss. And I mean, I'm not gonna say nothing because I know you had a bad day and you had a 22-year-old calling you by your first name and you probably had a bad fucking day, but you're bugging right now. You know, and you're like, you're bugging right now. You know what I mean? You're bugging. But like I said, going to respect you because you need that validation as a man to allow you to go back to work and keep working so I don't starve.
Marvin, at the end of the day, you know what I mean?
I need you to go work tomorrow. And like, you know what I mean? Because Marvin, you can't afford for your day to say, fuck this, I'm not going to work tomorrow. Mm. Like, hey, what is that?
I used to pick up kerosene. Used to fan it for the food for my grandma and all the older people. I'd carry buckets of water, just have a bath, like bucket bath. Yeah, just one bucket bath. You have to salvage that shit.
But that's what I'm saying.
It shaped me though.
No, but you've proved my point in terms of your environment is what makes you. So when you, brother, when he was in the UK, he was moving bad.
Yeah.
When he went to Africa, he had to carry water on his head. He humbled. Imagine, because the thing is, when you go to certain places, yeah, like I went to Nigeria the other day and I've gone back to like the village, innit? I'll speak about it on the podcast before. And basically, like, I've been there before, but my granddad's house is here. There's a road in between. My other granddad's house is there. Like, that's how, like,
Life is. Both
my families. No, the families, mom and dad, their families knew each other from when they were, like, young, innit? So, anyway, so, visited my granddad's house there, visited my other granddad's house, and then my uncle said, oh, let's see your granddad's brother or something like that. But I know whatever, like, I've walked in, I wanted to go straight back out. But this yard was bonkers. As in, like, I mean, like, run down, bro. Man. Like, the TV looked like it was the same TV that man was watching in, like, the
40s. The Beatle back then.
Nah, but this TV, it's not even black and white. It's probably, like, a off-color.
Man, okay.
Off-white. Then the couch just looked like...
Virgil before Virgil.
Marvin said his black and white was different. You know what I mean?
They're opaque. The TV was sepia. Yeah. So, and then I've got in the yard, whatever, and then brother, the couch looked like a bed bug would say no thanks.
Jesus.
Like it was just mad. So when I got in there, I looked, I was like, this is how man's living. So that's, it kind of gave me like a new, like,
humbled you.
But immediately, bro. When I mean humbled me, I mean, it wasn't even a case of I'm living good, I ain't got to worry about this. It was more of, you're living like this. Like, that's what I, you know, like normally that, like, you can feel like this is a scenario happening and you're like, I'm not involved. I'm all right.
Do you know how much Ghana humbled me? If you give me a chocolate bar, I say thank you, bruv. I thank God. I'm grateful just for a fucking chocolate bar.
I hear it.
To be alive, bro. Like, but that's how much Ghana humbled me, bruv.
But growing up,
imagine showering in like a tin thing and lizard is crawling while you're showering in like a little
the lizard was standing there. You look at them and you do this thing where they
So you bring on the spot.
Look at it.
Keep having your shower.
It's
bro.
Mad, bro.
Keep going.
I'm telling you. Anyone who's been to Nigeria or Ghana or whatever, you've seen the lizard. The lizard will run and the lizard will look at you like, because it's like, he's trying to like say, like, hopefully these niggas didn't see me. Right? You can see it's breathing, trying to.
Like, nigga, I see you. Keep showering, nigga. I leave it till you finish.
Nah, so for me, like, you know.
Man, so let me spit in your butt.
So I moved here when I was 14. So, you know what I mean? I grew up back home and stuff like that. But I will also say that I didn't grow up in poverty. So that's one of those things I have to say.
No.
You know why I have to say that? Because one time I told a story, you know what I mean? That my mom wasn't happy about. My sister told me, you know what I mean? She came to cook me. Because, like, you ain't grow up like that. So, you know what I mean? I have to clearly make that distinction now. But, you know what I mean? I grew up around, you know what I mean? Certain things. When you grow up and you see certain things and stuff like that. But, you know what I mean? Like, growing up, you know what I mean? I tell people, being back home, whether it's a year or two, whether it's 15 years or whatever, it definitely does shape you in terms of, you know what I mean? Like, you grew up with a... Brent, the door just... Oh my God, I thought someone was trying to come in, Brent.
You didn't see him come in?
No, I saw Brent come in, but the door just opened now. So I thought somebody was trying to come in, which is why I was a little bit rattled, because I was like, Brent's here, so who's trying to open the door? So I'm saying, when you grow up in, you know what I mean, in that kind of situation or whatever, it does shape you in a certain way. So I always find, like, for me, when I hang around with certain types of people, I can always tell people that have spent an extended period of time at home versus people that have grown up here. You know what I mean? I don't even, it's just one of those things where if you were to ask me, what are the things you look out for? Couldn't tell you. But I can always tell people that have grown up. You know, there are people that have had an extended period.
I don't know what home. I would look like or what my life would be like if I went back home and spent time in
it. Just, you would have been an evangelist, bro. Yeah. Oh,
No, I'm telling you, because it just depends on what life you would have had over there, because it definitely, you know what I mean? Like, over here, you start to realize, you know what I mean, privilege you have in certain situations. You know what I mean? Like, when you're back home and you're like, hey, yo. Like, when you look at, like, it's even sometimes it's just down to see, you know, even like, you don't even have to live in a certain way, but when you see how other people were living, like this one documentary I watched from Zimbabwe, it's a couple of years ago, right? Watching it, this girl, she's underage, you know what I mean? She's pregnant. I think she had a little kid. Then she was pregnant with another kid on the way or whatever. And they were living, her and the kid were living in an overturned car. But, you know, cars had an accident. They've just dragged it to the side of the road. And that's the car her and her kid were living in. These kids were living in a phone box. These two little kids, bro, they're under the age of 7. Two of them, they were living in a phone box. But when you look at that situation, you know what I mean? You don't even have to experience that. But when you see that over here, you know, and you're like, little young girl gets pregnant or whatever, as bad as life is, she could be living on 28 quid a week, but she's got a flat. That you could get, if you're a certain age, you fit a certain criteria, you could get a home on the government. You may be on, you know, the food bank. You have to go to the food bank. You have to get this. You have to get this. But you know, back home in Nigeria, Marvin, you have a kid under a certain age and so on and so on. That's it.
You have a kid in general. That's it.
There's nobody. You know what it is, bro? But this is it. But if you're young, whatever, there's no house from the government. Yeah. There's no aid. There's no food bank. There's no nothing. That is it. You know what I mean? You could genuinely, you and your you could genuinely be living in a hole in the ground. And that's scary. And you don't even need to experience that. You go home and live there for a year and you see enough of that, bro, which reshapes the rest of your life. Because you appreciate life from a different thing. You know, Marvin, you go home right now for 3 months on holiday. You go home for a month and you see certain things and it makes you appreciate your life differently. You know what I mean? I've seen you, like, sometimes when you're with the kids and you're giving kids money and you think to yourself, imagine if that was your life. Yeah. And that's, you know what I mean? It's that, you know what I mean? When you're handing out money and you're looking after the kids and this and this, you're enjoying that
someone,
moment.
Someone said that. Someone, I can't remember who said it. We got a round up now anyway. Someone else said that they were like, when they're in Nigeria or certain places, they look at even like a family member and it was like, I give money to my family members because that could have been me.
Yeah.
Like, I might have been that family member on that side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so sometimes it's like, bro, just be kind. Like, bro.
A tenner, Marvin. Think of a tenner. Think of a tenner, Marvin. Like, 10 squid to you here is like, it's money. You know what I mean? Because you could eat for the next few days on a tenner. But when you give a tenner to someone else,
people be praying for you, bro, differently over there, bro.
A tenner. You give someone a tenner, bro. Like,
I'll do you one better. What do you know about sharing one pencil between 10 people to write the same answer?
Brother, you know that, brother, you know the maddest thing is I went to my mum, there's like there's schools and stuff that my mum gives money to, innit? Like, whatever. Bro, no word of a lie. We went there, we gave, like, students money, notepads and pencils, yeah? People fighting us for notepads and pencils.
That's mad.
Like, as in, I had grown men come up to me saying, are there any more pens? I'm like, brother, in the UK, man don't care about a pen.
Yeah, we dash it, bruv. We don't care.
We don't care about even the notepad. We don't care about. But I've got a man come up to me saying, yo, I've got like 5 kids at home. Like, can I get some notepads for them? So I'm having to give people, like, it's coming like, but the same way that people might want like a power bank here or like a pair of trainers or hoodie at like an event. They wanted books. Like, it's mad. Like, you're giving them pencils and pens. They're looking at you like, oh my God, like, thank you.
You changed my life.
So, yeah, but anyway, love for coming through, man.
Thank you. It's been an insightful conversation. Yeah, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's one of those, you
it's
know.
It's not everyday cheeks. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's truth. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have those, you know what I mean, conversations where it's mind-blowing.
Do me a favor.
And by the way, Brent, we did the top 10.
I knew this is what we did this podcast.
We have to tell Brent, top 10 countries with the highest murder rate. You know what I mean? Trinidad and Tobago is in the top 10. You know what I mean? And
St. Kitts.
And Jamaica. I swear Jamaica was up there.
It's because of white people.
We say cartels as in like actual South cartels. American cartels.
Drug cartels.
Oh, because they sell, I mean, drugs with boats and stuff. Oh,
yeah.
Serious?
Yeah. Remember, you when you think of, if so you think of, especially when you think of the Caribbean.
Back to my point though. Black people are not naturally violent. You get me? It's the people coming in. It's the people coming in.
Shake hips and pew, pew, pew.
See what I'm saying? We're not naturally, black people are not naturally violent, bro.
So what Marvin is saying is...
Rishi Sunak, get the immigrants out, mate.
What Marvin is saying is the Mexicans.
The Mexicans.
If you watch, you know, the Lost Black Panther, fuck them water Mexicans.
I love for that, man. Thank you.
Do you know, if you think of the you know, I mean, the proximity of the Caribbean to South America.
The Richard King show every other week.
Every fortnight.
What was he said? Thursday, innit?
Yeah, Thursday it comes on.
No, but I just
Thursday it comes on Spotify, innit? And the videos come on the Tuesday.
Is it just on Spotify? Is it available?
Spotify and
available.
YouTube, available everywhere. All platforms. Yeah, I got a book coming out as well. Something for everyone coming out in the next couple of weeks. Poetry book.
Plugged up.
I was actually watching
your stand up thing. Not stand up poetry thing the other day. You know what I mean? Going in.
Thank you, sir.
Letting the man know. But like I said, shout out you, man, for coming through. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Love.
Peace.
Boom.
Oh, he's a funny.
You are now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marv Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser Black.